Mark Twain once said, "Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter." In Ireland, people over the age of 66 are considered to be retired. But what does the label retired mean to those who must wear it and to the wider community around them? In this five-part documentary series, we speak to people in the community who have retired and ask them if age is really just a number. Dr. Declan Matthews has been a GP for 40 years, 30 of which have been here in Youghal. He is about to retire and described to me how he feels about it.
A difficult one. As I say, I fully retired from the medical card scheme at the end of the year. I'm now just doing three mornings a week. And as I say, soon we'll be doing no mornings a week. And I sort of worry about a few things about it. I don't know what it's going to be like doing nothing. I don't know what it's going to be like. I have a job whereby people ask my opinion about things 20, 30, 40 times a day. I don't know what it's going to be like to adjust to nobody wanting my opinion about anything. And that's one of the things that sort of worries me. How am I going to fill my day? What am I going to do? Now, as I say, I have a little bit of getting used to it in the fact that I'm sort of 4 days off at the moment, which is amazing. But as I say, and we're in lockdown, so you're a little bit more confined at the moment. So, you know, but these are the sort of things that go through my mind. You know, like everything else, if you go into work and you have a bad day at work, you're looking forward to retirement to come really, really soon. But if you have a nice day at work and everything's going fine, and then you sort of say, oh, I don't know if I enjoy this job. Do I really want to stop doing it? You know, I've been lucky enough to have three of my siblings have retired in the last 5 years. And they all, to a man and woman, two sisters and a brother, have said, it's great. Just embrace it. It takes a little while, but embrace it. It's great.
I asked Declan if his position as a GP gave him a different insight into retirement, particularly as he is retiring in an unprecedented time of COVID-19.
The best way to answer that question would be, over the years I've come across couples, we'll say a couple who might have lived in England all their lives and then come to retirement age and decided they'll come back to Youghal and they'll settle down in Youghal. And in a lot of cases, now not in all cases, but in a lot of cases, it's not worked out well for them because they've had their life in England, they have their family in England, they normally only come home to Youghal, we'll say, for 2 weeks in the summer, and they think everything's going to be brilliant when they come back and live here. But the reality on the ground is it's different, and they're cutting ties with friends and with family. So I'd be very conscious of not doing anything like that. I'd be very conscious of staying local, staying around, staying in my same house, doing the sort of things that I do at the moment. As I say, Rose retired last October, though in fact she's involved in doing vaccinations this morning. But so the two of us will be retired. We always sort of said we'd go somewhere nice, we'd go somewhere like off to South America or somewhere for a while. We'd certainly go to Spain I'd love to lie on a beach in Lanzarote and do nothing for 2 weeks. So I think that sort of stuff is fine. I think that I'm not worried about that because I think by August, September, we'll be back doing that sort of thing again. So COVID in a way certainly has been weird and has been certainly weird in my job. And it's been a steep learning curve and it's a steep learning curve still every day. But I don't think it's going to interfere, or at least I hope it's not going to interfere with my retirement plans.
For some people, the move into retirement can be a difficult process, as Shane Murphy, psychotherapist, explains.
When you're working and you're thinking about not being old and stuff like that, I mean, old brings an awful lot of things to it. Old is debt. Old is, you know, as you said, like, you know, in society, like, people look at you completely different from being a young person to an old person. And, you know, even getting the state pension, you know, and going down. And some people who have never been on the dole or anything like that in their life, there's a huge stigmata around going to collect the pension. You know, they've never experienced anything like this before. Now, I know, understand now these days that it goes directly into your bank account and all that, but if there's still that stigmata, you know, about taking something from the government, you know, when you took it from, you know, you got paid a wage every week, like, and there's a huge stigmata around the fact that, you know, if you think about being paid by the government is the dole, You know, people have the stigmata about that you're that you're a waste of space. And I mean, it, when you move into being old, to go from overnight from being, you know, someone that has an identity in society to feeling that you don't have any identity in society and that you're old, and then when you start thinking about old, you start thinking about debt, and then you start thinking about, you start worrying about things like that. And there's a lot of, like, I mean, one of the big things that people don't realise that when people go into retirement, there's a grief there. There's a loss. I mean, grief is one of the hardest emotions to deal with. And people don't associate grief with material things like a job. But grief comes about in so many different ways. And people struggle with this because they're getting emotional and they're getting upset. And they can't understand when they're talking about a material thing like a job, why they would have grief about it. And, you know, until people start coming to terms with what a massive shift that this is in people in society, you know, things will have to change, like, because people just are struggling big time, like, in retirement.
Sir, when you're 20 or 40, you really don't ever think retirement's going to come. But believe you me, to anybody who's listening, it comes. It comes bloody quickly. And it's just there suddenly. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think when you're 30 and 40, even when you're hitting your 50s, that you actually think about retirement as something that happens. It's almost like life is in a few phases. You know, when we're going to school, we thought our school phase would never end. We just wanted to get out of there. Then when we go into university, sort of, or wherever we go, you think, oh, that's it. That's 8 years or 7 or 8 years of that, or training, or whatever you're doing. Then you go into actually working the job. You think that's going to go on forever. It doesn't. They're all phases and none of them last forever. I do think people who are retired have still an awful lot to offer, and I think that's a very important, as I say, I look at it just as another one of the sort of four or five phases of your life. I'm just looking at it as another phase of my life, a phase that I hopefully will be able to enjoy. I'm always very conscious of the fact that my father was an air traffic controller in Shannon, and he retired on ill health at 62, and he was dead at 63, and I always feel like, oh, that life was very cruel to do that to anybody. He really wasn't well for the last year. So I've always been very conscious of that. And that's always sort of influenced my decision to retire. I can keep going on and go until I'm 72 if I wish. But that's always influenced me. I would hate to feel that life would cheat me and that I don't get to enjoy some of my retirement. There is a sense, going back at what I just said about my father, there's a sense I'm grateful that I'm healthy enough, to hopefully, to enjoy it, and barring anything going wrong, which we can never guarantee in life, but that I'm healthy enough heading into it and that I should be able to enjoy it.
I asked Declan what he felt the biggest misconception about retirement was.
I think people don't plan for retirement. I think that's probably one of the big misconceptions they have. I think they think it's going to be one big, long holiday. And it's not. It's life. It's getting up every day, doing things, doing the normal things. There will be holidays in there, but the whole thing won't be holidays. And I think you need to plan for it. You need to sort of mentally plan for it, I think. And I think that's very important, to know what it's going to be like, to expect whatever pitfalls are going to happen. So I think planning is probably the most important thing.
Planning for retirement can be a daunting process for people, but there are organisations within the town of Youghal that can help. I spoke with Hayley Fox-Roberts, local community development worker with Cumann na Dhiana, about some of the services that they provide.
And what we tried to do at Cumann na Dhiana, particularly through the Spring Chickens project, was to bring old people together so that they had opportunity to chat and share their experiences and find information as they wanted and basically have a good time together. So we started our Spring Chickens social club in 2018, I think. And what we did was, one day a week, we have the lovely community cafe at Cumann na Dhiana, and we would meet there for the day. And, you know, during the day, we'd have a speaker or, you know, presentation in the morning. We'd have tea and chat. Then we'd have a lovely lunch together. And then we'd have, oh, it might be music or playing bowls or making wreaths or, you know, like doing activity in the afternoon. And that was really popular. It was just such a lovely thing to be doing. And I know, you know, from people's feedback and from people in the group, it was really successful because people went, yeah, we're actually getting to make new friends, to have conversations, to feel heard as well. So, you know, to feel heard in, we'd be saying, what kind of presentations would you like? And they tell us, and that's what we do. So it was great to be able to offer that. And the community cafe is just such a lovely venue. I know lots of older people would use the cafe on other days as well, you know, kind of good food at low cost and just knowing there's always a kind of community welcome. There are other, Comunitina was doing other activities and will again do other activities. So, you know, there was on a Friday afternoon, there was an indoor bowls club and that was very popular, you know. We also had a men's and women's group, a men's group and a women's group, which aren't necessarily for older people, but actually the membership was of older people. And both of those, they plan their own activities to all kinds of things. The fellows would be off, you know, visiting men's sheds or going on fishing trips and what have you. The women's group would, you know, they'd have people come in to do craft work or artwork with them. They have a oral history project that we're still working on. It's taking a bit of time now, where they're collecting, you know, stories from their childhood, how it used to be, what it was like growing up in Yall. So that's something, we've a draft version now, but we'd like to do more work with that and hear more people's stories. Because I think one of the really important things for older people in these kinds of activities and stuff is about getting to talk, you know, getting to talk. We all love to tell a story, you know, let me tell you about the time such and such happened, or do you remember when we used to do this? That's really important for our mental health, but just for the sense of being friends with other people, a sense of community. It's about people telling us what they need and what they want. And if we can do it, then we'll make that happen. I think the biggest misconception is that older people aren't part of community life anymore. You know, older people are often seen as with no energy, their skills are often ignored, their emotional and sexual lives are ignored. You know, I think the biggest misconception is that older people don't have as much to offer. There are limitations that come with age, and those are limitations that are around kind of physical capacity, health capacity. So, you know, if one's mobility is limited, you can't necessarily get up and down Cork Hill every day to go to a club or to go to an activity. So there is that limitation. And that's where services like the community bus are so important. I think the first impact of COVID, particularly for older people, was the sense of isolation. Sense of isolation and a loss of independence. Because, you know, particularly in the cocooning stage for older people, and even now when people are, you know, just basically encouraged not to go out, there was a great risk of isolation and the mental health problems that can come with that. People were kind of removed from their families in a way that they might never have been before. And their scope, their daily scope was narrowed by the isolation. Lack of communication is really, really hard on the spirit. And a loss of independence is particularly distressing for older people, given the physical limitations we have as we get older anyway. Do you know what I mean? The lack of communication is a huge concern. And that's something, Comunidina, you know, that we've tried to really address through the, as you might say, kind of simple initiative of, you know, all the people who are on our books, as you might say, you know, all the people whose contact details we have, that's the Spring Chickens, men's group, bowls group, women's group. That all of these people get a phone call every week if they want it, don't force it on them. But so what we've done is kind of kept in touch with people. And something that's really lovely that's come out of that is a kind of organic sort of befriending. So I might be talking to one of the Spring Chickens on the phone and they say, oh, would you ask so-and-so, could I get their number? Because I'd love to be chatting to them. So there have been friendships built that might not have happened otherwise, where people were seeing each other every week. Now some of those people are in contact with each other, and so friendships have kind of grown through that. The lack of independence that comes with being isolated, we've tried to address that a wee bit by the very limited activities that we can do at the moment. Obviously, we can't meet, we can't even go for walks together. But by asking people in the phone calls what they're interested in, we've done things like, you know, we did the community quilt project. So, you know, we're all in our houses knitting our little squares, and then Sue O'Loughlin sewed them all together for us, and we managed to make something together even though we were separate. It's a very limited sort of engagement, but I think that is a big help, because it's like, you know, I was sitting there knitting me square going, this is going to be part of like what we all made, and it's a wee bit of excitement in dark days. But one of the things we can also do through those phone calls is refer people to other supports that they might need, so like the Meals on Wheels service, or the Virtual Dementia Cafe, or Your Cancer Care. One of the challenges, I think, for a number of older people during COVID has been because so much moved online. So many things just didn't happen, but so many things moved online, and not every older person is au fait with the internet. Not every older person has a computer or a tablet, you know? So we have tried as much as we can to help people learn how to use the internet. Age Action developed this really good, they call it the Getting Started Kit, and it's a thing we've printed out and posted to people, and it's seven little things on how to get the internet on your phone, how to get the internet on your computer, and that's been a really useful tool. And Cumnor Dean is fortunate because we can get that stuff printed, we can put that stuff in the post, you know. We had a Zest for Life course online last year for old people, and that was really popular. People loved that, you know, and it's a kind of mindfulness course, but that worked really well. It helped people get online in so much as it's much easier to learn to do something if there's something you want to do, and that absolutely impacts on, you know, the awful isolation of not being able to see your family, you know. To at least be able to see them on the screen is a huge help. It's a huge help. What I'm really looking forward to, I'm so looking forward to opening the doors of that cafe, seeing Caroline and Una and Brian behind the hot plate and saying welcome back. I'm just so looking forward to saying welcome back and bringing people in. So the first few times we meet, we'll just be talking the whole time. I'm so looking forward to seeing everyone back there.
During the course of this documentary, we have spoken to people in all stages of retirement. Some have embraced it, some are learning to deal with it, and some are nervously awaiting it. The common thread, however, with all the participants is that age is not a factor in any of their concerns. For each of them, age really is just a number.
Presented by Linda O'Connell. Produced and edited by Sean Healy and Linda O'Connell. Researched by Marie O'Connor and Monica Canary. Supported by the Ireland Fund. Broadcast by CRY 104 FM. The sound of your